From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, home insurance costs are rocketing up, and now politicians may be getting involved. Governor J.B. Pritzker says he wants the legislature to take action. What could that entail? What would it mean for the insurance industry and for policyholders? We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime State House reporter and observer. And our guest this week is Jeremy Gorner with the Chicago Tribune. Jeremy, it's always good to have you back on the show with us. Let's start by talking about this insurance situation. I think a lot of people were surprised, especially people that have State Farm insurance, when they found out that their policies for homeowners coverage was going to go up about 27% this year, and that's on top of other increases that have occurred in recent years. What is State Farm saying about this? Why is this happening?
Right. So basically, State Farm is, you know, citing really, you know, a lot of reasons for this. I mean, there's been, you know, rising costs due to extreme weather events. It's getting more expensive to do repairs. And, you know, just another thing, you know, for instance, Sean, I guess, like, you know, what State Farm has basically said is one example is that it received So regarding the Los Angeles wildfires, this is just one example. You know, it says it received 13,000 claims and paid more than $4.2 billion for California homeowners who suffered losses there. You know, but even going into 2025, Sean, the company said that other claims were becoming too costly. Like, so State Farm said it paid $1.26 in claims for every $1 premium collected from Illinois homeowners last year. You know, that's including like $638 million in hail damage claims, and that's second to only Texas. So this has been a justification for driving up rates to 27%, you know, for homeowners. So basically, you know, obviously Pritzker had a war of words with State Farm over this on social media, but, you know, but what, you know, the general idea here is that Pritzker called on the General Assembly to try to take on some legislation to counteract this. And the big thing that he's really pushing for is this concept of rate review. And, you know, right now in Illinois, there's no effective mechanism in place to prevent companies like State Farm from imposing rates for homeowners and auto insurance that are deemed too excessive. And basically, Illinois is one of the only states, if not the only state, that does not have a rate review process in place. And there's specific language, does not have rate review process in place if insurance rates are, quote, excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory. That's kind of boilerplate language for, you know, what insurance law sites, you know, when they're talking about, you know, regulating insurance rates. Illinois doesn't have that for homeowners insurance. Now, if you look at what Illinois did for health insurance a couple of years ago, they do have a rate review process for rates that could be deemed too costly for large insurance companies, large insurance plans. This was part of, for example, the Healthcare Protection Act that was Governor Pritzker pushed last year. So basically what advocates want to do is they want to take that concept from, the health insurance provision on rate review and apply that to homeowners insurance and autos insurance. And, you know, this also comes with calling for insurance companies to have more transparency on, how their rates have changed each year with respect to homeowners insurance, whether there's been increases, whether there's been decreases, and explain why there have been changes in those rates. So right now there's a bill in the Senate from State Senator Mike Hastings. And basically what it would do is it would require insurers to provide information on their rates to the Illinois Department of Insurance 60 days in advance of a proposed aggregate rate change of 5% or more. So basically, if this was a law that was in effect now, then State Farm would not be able to impose a 27% rate hike without any kind of meaningful review from the Department of Insurance, which they don't have the capacity to do now. So that's kind of a big thing that you know, could be negotiated as we go into veto session in October.
Yeah, Charlie, I want to get your take on it, but I guess I also think to myself, I mean, I know here, for example, in central Illinois, and I think this would apply to anybody anywhere, really, when there's been a big storm. We had a big storm here in the Springfield area just a couple of years ago, a derecho that moved through, a lot of hail damage, a lot of wind damage. And I know some people not only had their insurance go up after that, some had their homeowners insurance canceled. The companies would no longer actually supply the policies to them. But I guess I want to get your take. Is this approach something, like Jeremy mentioned, maybe we're one, if not the only state that doesn't do something like this. So maybe it's time to do it.
Yeah, and the kind of the underlying cause, well, when Pritzker asked for this authority, he suggested that basically that State Farm was raising its rates to cover its losses elsewhere. I think he mentioned properties in Florida, for example, beachfront homes that have been hit by hurricanes. And State Farm says, no, that's not true. We don't shift the costs from one state to another. And they pointed out that, as you suggested, as Jeremy suggested, and you also, Sean, our extreme weather is occurring more frequently. And there was a fact from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported 131 tornadoes, 142 instances of severe hail in Illinois so far this year, and 139 tornadoes, 303 severe hail incidents last year. And so that is the kind of increase in severe weather that insurance companies have to take into account when they set the rates. And it's not just State Farm. Allstate has done the same thing, and other insurance companies are doing that. And the insurance company advocates say one of the things is if the state says, okay, we're not going to allow you to raise rates to what you think you need to cover the losses, insurance companies can just say, okay, we're just not going to do business here. And there's no law that requires an insurance company to offer policies if the insurance company doesn't want to. If I'm not mistaken, State Farm is located here in Illinois, I think in Bloomington, and it's one of the biggest employers in central Illinois.
Well, Jeremy, I think that's a good point about the fact that these insurance companies might just decide not to cover, maybe pull out of the state of Illinois, or maybe only do certain types of insurance. That is usually goes and flies in the face of lower costs for consumers because you have less choice. So, I mean, I'm wondering if this could be something that maybe the legislature better tread lightly on when it comes to, you know, what they do here.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. I mean, because, you know, industry officials and there's been some legislators, too, they, you know, have argued that if you put additional regulation on the insurance industry, that could lead to higher costs. Like for you know, one example, we spoke with State Rep Jeff Kiker of Sycamore, who also happens to be in a State Farm agent. So he knows a lot about the business. And, you know, one of the things that he cautioned, you know, one of the things he pointed out rather is that, you know, is that Illinois, he says that Illinois has lower insurance rates than other markets because it's got this open and competitive marketplace, and that, you know, it's kind of like you were just saying, you know, more insurers offering coverage means more competition, and that keeps costs lower. You know, if Illinois tries to control these rates, then you could see providers pull out of Illinois, and that's, you know, obviously not good for the insurance industry. And I also want to add too, I was talking to a top you know, official in the Pritzker administration about this, and they were saying that, you know, they're a proponent of rate review that I mentioned, which, just to give you a little sense in how it works, and then going back to how this could impact insurance companies, you know, say State Farm comes in with a, you know, saying that they want to raise homeowners insurance by 27%. You know, basically what the state would do if a law like, if a rate review law like this was put into place, you know, the department would say, we feel this rate is not justified because the data they provided to come to arrive to the 27% increase doesn't justify that increase. However, this data that you have, you could justify maybe a 9% increase, and then the Department of Insurance would approve this increase at 9%. However, to your point, Sean, you know what this law would do if it was in effect. It would also be mindful that in cases where there's intense market competition, you know, that's going to drive down rates, the department could determine that an insurer's rates are too low and they don't want to create a financial solvency issue for this company because, you know, as this official said, a healthy industry is in everybody's best interest because without it, homeowners can't get insurance. So, they see consumer protection, a law like this, a rate review process, not only protecting consumers, but also protecting the insurance companies for that reason.
Shirley, I mean, this, before we move on from this, this is, I guess, a pretty good political issue for lawmakers and the governor. I don't know too many people who are big fans of the insurance industry. You have to pay that every year. Not everybody usually is happy with it. But the same thing, like you said, I mean, this is something I could see. It'll get discussed. Let's put it that way. Do you think that this is going to be able to make it through? The insurance lobby is pretty strong as well.
Yeah, I would think that the notion that the state would have complete control, that probably will not be able to get through the General Assembly, certainly not in the fall veto session. And it would be something that I think the people who are pushing for it are looking at it kind of long term. And the fact of the matter is that the bottom line is that because of climate change, the weather is going to continue to get worse and we're going to have more extreme cases and more property damage. Now, maybe you could get a homeowner's policy that says, well, if your home is totally demolished, we'll pay to replace it. But if it's just that the siding got ripped off, you have to pay that yourself. So you could have a big deductible. And that would lower your premium. But on the other hand, it would expose you to great financial risk. So there's a lot of different moving parts here. But as I say, I would be very surprised if something gets done in the veto session.
Well, let's move on. Another issue that has come up, it has to do, really, starting as many of issues have in recent months, at the White House with Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress also talking about the idea of trying to gain more seats going into next year. And Texas has been a real prime target for this. They're kind of pushing for the possibility of redistricting there. And that is being discussed by some lawmakers in Texas to try to get more Republican districts carved out. Charlie, the governor here in Illinois, Governor Pritzker, says that maybe that's something Illinois might have to consider as well. So I want to get your take on it.
Yeah, and I think the Republicans, it's not that they're considering it. They are going to do it in Texas. It's part of the special session that Greg Abbott, the governor, called. And they're thinking about maybe being able to pick up as many as 8 congressional seats simply by redrawing the lines and taking some now Democratic districts and splitting them up and putting in Republican areas from around them. And Texas isn't the only state that's considering it and is doing it. Ohio is also considering it. And Ohio, they're talking about maybe being able to go from a situation where now there are 10 Republican, 5 Democratic districts to 13 Republican and 2 Democratic districts. The danger in some of this and some of the Republican congressman whose districts would have voters shaved off to put into a Democratic district are concerned that if you weaken their districts too much, they could be subject to a challenge. So there's that dynamic. But as far as the notion that Illinois could somehow change our calculus so that Republicans would have, instead of three, would maybe have two or one districts. I don't think the geography and the population would make it possible, unless, as somebody suggested the other day, I think I saw it on Rich Miller's website, where you would have like a blob in Cook County with arms extending, skinny arms extending all the way across to the Mississippi, all the way down to the Ohio, so that you would have this really weird looking map, sort of like an octopus. And that's not going to happen. We're probably not going to be able to do anything. Governor Gavin Newsom in California is being urged to consider the same thing. And the theory is that if California Democrats were decided to go ahead and maximize their power, they could add maybe as many as or flip as many as eight districts that now have Republicans, redraw them so that they would be Democratic leaning. So it could be a game that kind of balances out. And in my mind, the difficulty is that some years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, in weighing redistricting, we won't consider partisan gerrymanders. That's fine if you want to do it. And in my mind, that's where the problem stems from.
Yeah, I think Pritzker called it cheating if Texas lawmakers do this, but which was kind of ripe for Republicans here to come back on, because we have seen some pretty gerrymandered districts. We have those right now here to benefit Democrats. But Jeremy, this is one of those things. Is this gaining some momentum? Have you heard anything?
No, I mean, the you know, the General Assembly, at least, and I saw one report from Capital News Illinois saying that. From Don Harmon saying that they do not plan on taking this issue up, you know, in the near future. Of course, you know, that could, I think, like, you know, with anything with the legislature, they've been kind of on edge to see what comes out of Washington, whether it's budgetary issues or any other constitutional issues, you name it, before reacting with any kind of talk of a special session. Could this be lumped into one of those issues that could consider us, where legislators could consider a special session in Springfield? I don't know. There's certainly nothing planned for this. I mean, I will say that Illinois has been criticized for its, you know, the way that it has drawn its maps for Congress. For instance, the Princeton gerrymandering project gave Illinois an F grade, you know, for the way that it's drawn its maps in terms of political fairness and competition and geographic compactness. But it, you know, it's not just Illinois being a blue state that received an F grade. I mean, Texas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, they too.
Wisconsin, for that matter.
Wisconsin.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, really, I hate to say it. Charlie covered the legislature for a long time. It really depends on the makeup of the General Assembly and the political will to really do something about maps that could be perceived as unfair. And it's going to be a little difficult for Republicans in Illinois to wish for that when you have such lopsided supermajorities in the House and Senate favoring Democrats. I mean, this is something that Republican leaders in the House and Senate have complained about for a long time, about gerrymandered maps, and at least on the state legislative side, not just for the congressional maps, which is, you know, and we've seen litigation over this. So yeah, you know, obviously with Pritzker's comments on how we have to do something because what they're doing is cheating. I mean, that those comments from some Republican leaders were looked at as hypocritical, who don't think that Pritzker's been fair the way that he and his Democratic allies have drawn the maps, you know, here in Illinois.
Yeah,
go ahead. Out that when he was running for office, Pritzker said that he opposed gerrymanders.
Right.
And then he went ahead and signed gerrymandered maps.
Mm-hmm. And of course, right. In the House, the U.S. House right now, Illinois has Democrats controlling 14 out of 17 seats there. So again, yeah, like Charlie, like you said, it's not not a whole lot of meat left on the bone there to pick up. But let me move on real quick here to a bill that was signed by the governor this week. This is an interesting bill. Seemed to get a lot more attention, probably in the northern part of the state, in the Chicago area, but it was basically allowing police to remove what are known as squatters from a person's home for criminal trespassing. So, Jeremy, I know you covered this. How did this come about? What was the issue here?
I mean, you know, I know that this has been an issue for a long time, and I know that our local affiliate, ABC affiliate, Channel 7, had done some reporting on this leading up to the law. And to the law being signed. And, you know, and basically what this measure does, it clarifies what has long been a point of contention for how authorities should handle squatters. And we're talking about, you know, for listeners, people who are living in a residence without the permission of a property's legal tenant or without permission of the property's legal tenant or owner. And, you know, Illinois until now, they have not had a law differentiating between squatters and just people who are quote unquote overstaying tenants. You know, people who claim to be a tenant or owner of a property they're occupying, and a squatter can't be removed by law enforcement until a court eviction process is completed. Generally, so basically, starting on January 1st. This law will establish a clear distinction between, you know, those who are lawful tenants and unlawful squatters to ensure that, you know, property owners aren't forced to deal with the lengthy court eviction process to remove occupants, you know, living on their property without permission. You know, and it's also supposed to give authorities guidance on when a property owner can show valid ownership and show that trespassing is occurring and that officers can indeed remove trespassers when the situation calls for it. You know, this was a bill that was passed, you know, pretty much nearly without opposition. I mean, it was passed without opposition in the House. In the Senate, it passed 55-1. The one no vote was Republican State Senator Andrew Chesney. And Chesney told me earlier this week, you know, he's very much opposed to squatters and criminal trespassing. He just didn't think that this law really had any teeth. He didn't think it would bring any kind of meaningful change because he felt that there were things that you already could do to remove squatters, you know, his opinion. And doesn't think that it'll really be that effective.
Now, Charlie, one of the other lawmakers, Marcus Evans, who pushed this through, he had his own run-in with squatters, apparently moving in next door to him, so he was certainly on board. It's always funny how lawmakers become more invested in an issue when it really does impact them more, but this was a case of that.
Yeah, and according to, and Jeremy alluded to this, ABC 7 in Chicago reported that squatters had moved in next door to Evans's home in the Avalon Park neighborhood on the south side. The owners of the house had put it up for sale, but these squatters just kind of moved in without buying it or renting it. And the police, according to the TV station, told the homeowners they couldn't remove the squatters from the home, that the homeowners would have to go through the eviction process in Cook County, which could take months. So Evans told the station that he would call Pritzker directly to ask him to sign the bill. And that's what happened.
Well, let's move on to our notes from the field. And Jeremy, we'll start with you this week.
Yeah, so basically Illinois is kind of in a holding pattern to see what the Trump administration will do with respect to its policy on artificial intelligence. You know, during the Biden presidency, there was an executive order to promote online safety in an AI world, basically calling for regulation when needed. The Trump administration rescinded that executive order in a way to give more latitude to AI innovation, which has, you know, raised alarm bells to people who want more regulation for AI, you know, for safety reasons and privacy reasons. So Illinois, they achieved mixed results this past legislative session to regulate the technology. And, you know, they've really been trying to tackle it in areas of healthcare, insurance, elections, and education. And, you know, supporters say that, you know, they want these measures to protect against potential threats of public safety or personal privacy, to counter any deceitful actions facilitated by AI. So Democratic lawmakers are continuing to kind of navigate that space in Illinois and are worried, that without regulation, it could jeopardize safety, whereas Republicans don't want to stifle innovation. And, they feel like that this could, any kind of regulation could prevent these tech companies from succeeding in the area of AI. And obviously, they want the U.S. to be able to compete on the world stage when it comes to this burgeoning technology.
All right. And Charlie.
Well, the Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul has joined a coalition of other attorneys general. I think there's a grand total of 20 plus who have sent a letter to Congress urging the passage of legislation that would prohibit federal immigration agents from wearing masks to conceal their identity and require them to show their IDs and insignia when they go to pick up someone who they want to detain and deport. And Raul mentioned in his news release that without clear identification, individuals may not recognize the agents as federal officers. It could prompt bystander intervention, could tie up local law enforcement, or even escalate dangerous situations. And the lack of identification has enabled some individuals to impersonate ICE agents to exploit or harm members of the community. And it occurred to me that there's any number of folks who would be, if they were carrying, would be inclined to pull a gun on a group of masked men who tried to stop them and haul them out of their car, and you could wind up with a shootout. So I think in my mind, it makes a lot of sense that instead of coming around basically as I say, masked men with no identification and pulling people over or grabbing them off the street, that the ICE guys should be required to have identification and they should not be masked, and they should show, if they're going to pick me up, they should show the legal justification. They should show the warrant for them doing it.
Well, two sentencings happened this week as well. I should mention both part of the ComEd 4, as they were known. It's as the former ComEd CEO Anne Pramaggiore sentenced to 24 months in prison and fined for her convictions and bribing the former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. And then also Mike McLean, a confidant of Madigan, sentenced to 24 months in prison. That's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and the Chicago Tribune's Jeremy Gorner. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.